Morning show at East Coast at 087-77-11-103. Now, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses after a man was seriously injured in a shooting in West Dublin. I'm told up to 10 shots were fired to this man who's in a critical condition in hospital. Reporter with the Irish Sun is John Hand. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Good morning. Tell us, first of all, what you know of the condition of the man.
He was shot at 10 times yesterday and hit about 6 or 7 times. But my understanding this morning is that he's in stable condition in Blanchestown Hospital.
Gosh, I'm surviving all that. Well, so far, anyway. So where does this fit into shootings and gangland in the city, do we know?
Well, the victim is well known to Gardaí. He's a 43-year-old man. He was previously warned that his life was under threat. So basically, he was friendly with a man named Mark Guinea Pig Desmond. He was a violent criminal who was murdered in 2016. This man yesterday was previously interviewed about that murder and helped Gardaí with their inquiries. He was also a close associate of David Chen Lynch, another criminal who was murdered in March of this year. So Gardaí are following those two lines of inquiry and seeing if yesterday's shooting was connected to either of those incidents.
Yeah, so these things just buzz away all the time. Are there people being targeted all the time?
It's hard to know. This may have been connected to that. There's no sign that it's connected to an ongoing feud at the moment. I suppose the fear now is that yesterday's shooting will kick off another dispute between two criminal gangs. Like when you look at the shooting yesterday, it was well planned. You know, the hitmen were lying in wait, waiting for this man. They rammed his car before the gunman fired 10 shots, and the pictures of the car show that there's 10 bullet holes in the front window of that Jeep. But the man, he managed to stumble away to a nearby house, and the alarm was raised. So the van used by the hit team was found burnt out nearby, and I understand that they actually, when they fled the scene, they weren't totally aware of where they were, and they ended up back in the same area, and they panicked and burnt out the car, and the gun used was actually found in that burnt out van. A second vehicle then was used to flee from that area. It was well planned, and it's really a miracle that it's not another gangland murder we're looking at.
Indeed. Thanks, John. Good morning to you. And you can read John in the Irish Sun today, his extensive report on that. John Hand there. It's the morning show at East Coast. A lot of people are heading off to the Aviva or Lansdowne Road tonight to watch Ireland play Switzerland. And this is in Group D of the championship. And there we are, top of the group. Will we still be at the end of the game? What's the situation? Switzerland, I hear, are good, but let's get the definitive answer from Pat Devlin. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you, Declan?
Okay, thank you. Cabinteely football manager Jeff Hendrick, ready to make his 50th appearance. So, what's your view of tonight?
Well, I think it'll be a very tough game, uncompromising in many ways. I think one goal, or maybe, you know, a 2-1 result for us would be very satisfying. We're top of the group. Switzerland need to get a result out of it. So it won't be pretty, but I just think we might certainly shade it. Difficult game. If we win it, as you say, we stay very much in charge of the group. So it's really important that we don't give anything away. And I think that's the way it'll be. You know, we go in, make sure we don't give anything away, and try and just pinch a little winner. We're not great up front. You know, we haven't got huge choices. So, we've been started looking at making sure we keep a clean sheet. And from there, I think we can pinch it and put us in a very, very good position.
So what you're saying is that we have an inferior skill level to the Swiss. So we'll frustrate them. Hold on, we'll frustrate them and nip, hopefully, a win, but it might be a draw, and hopefully it's not a lose. So is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, you know, each game you've got to look at it, and I think making sure that the Swiss don't win is most important. And if we don't concede, well, then we can't be beaten. So I think that's the most important statistic out of this game, because we got to make sure we don't lose it. And if we win it, we're in a fantastic position. Even if we draw, well, there's not much of damage. But, you know, you have to look at what we have available. And, like, at this stage, you know, Callum Robinson is probably going to be playing up front. You know, they're going to be without Shaqiri, so he's going to make a big difference. He sort of seems to have fallen out with them. But, you know, you must understand that the Swiss are ranked 11th in the world. And, you know, they're not coming here just to, you know, put their feet up and say, come on, Ireland, beat us. It's going to be a difficult game.
Yeah, and the Shane Long situation, it's not as bad as Devon Toner from the manager's explanation, but it's game time that he's concerned about rather than anything else, I hear.
Yeah, you know, when you have a big squad of players to pick from, whether it be rugby, soccer, Gaelic, it can be difficult. And I know from a personal point of view that you really have to consider everything. Players, how much time they've got, are they going to be better coming into the team, are they best coming off the bench, and so on and so on. So, you know, Mick has made that decision, and I would say he's made it in the best interest of the team, obviously. And that's the way it is, and unfortunately Shane loses out, but he isn't getting much game time. And to throw a fella in at international level and hasn't been playing, it can be quite difficult. And it could bring on injuries, etc., etc. So he's made his decision, and, you know, unfortunately Shane's not in it, and that's it.
Do you want to call it for tonight?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to say we're going to win 2-1. I think it's going to be very, very tight, but I think we could win 2-1.
Okay, well, fingers crossed for that. Are you going along yourself?
I am indeed. I can't wait. Yeah, looking forward to it. As long as there's no more tennis balls getting thrown on and all that.
Yeah, I know. Ginny, we need a bit of a turn the corner. So
Actually, when they threw the tennis balls on, it gave us a great advantage. We went on and won the game. So maybe we will look for tennis balls. Who knows?
Will you be having prawn sandwiches?
in the Aviva? I don't think so.
You'll be having a spice bag.
Actually, we'll have a little drink anyway, but we won't have any spice bag. No, we won't. We might have an old sandwich, all right, but I don't think it'd be prawns.
Right. Pat Devlin, manager at Cabinteely. Thanks, Pat. Enjoy the game tonight. Thank you. Bye-bye. So, in Pat's view, anyway, maybe we'll steal it at 2-1. And there we'd be, further topping the Group D of the European Championship. All right, it's the Morning Show at East Coast.
WhatsApp or text East Coast FM now. 087-77-11-103.
This Thursday and Friday, Super Value's amazing 48-hour special is Persil Powder 40 Wash or Liquid 38 Wash, save 70%. Only when you scan your Real Rewards card. Grab them quick, because when they're gone, they're gone. Offer finishes this Friday. Customer quotas apply. It's got to be Super Value.
Healthy lessons for all the family with Pat Finnegan, Fern's Life Pharmacy.
To avoid head lice, remind your family not to share hats, scarves, combs or brushes. If you suspect their presence, we are happy to advise on the best head lice treatments.
This September, talk to the team at Fern's Life Pharmacy about the 3-for-2 on selected vitamins and other health essentials. Life Pharmacy. Live better. Together.
When did we stop dreaming? Stop playing. Stop having fun. Introducing the Suzuki Vitara at Pascal Kennedy Motors Dunleary. Let's play like we're kids again. Drive a Suzuki and live in the moment, guilt-free. Now, an affordable €23,245 with 0% APR finance at Pascal Kennedy Motors Dunleary. The name for Suzuki in South Dublin and County Wicklow. Order before September 30th. For full terms and conditions, see kennedymotors.ie. Lending criteria, terms and conditions apply. 0% APR is available on all Suzuki Vitara models. This is a hire purchase agreement. You will not own the goods until final payment is made. Finance provided by Bank of Ireland, trading as Bank of Ireland Finance.
What can Gormanstown Driving Range offer the Wicklow golfer? A lot, it seems. Like a new grass practice area for your driving, a dedicated kids putting green, and top-class floodlit bays equipped with PowerTee automatic teeing system, so you can save energy for your swing and polish your skills till the sun comes out. And there's complimentary tea and coffee to keep you going. Raise your game at Gormanstown, 5 minutes from Wicklow Town. Google Gormanstown Driving Range today.
The Morning Show on East Coast FM.
The Morning Show
with Declan Meehan.
With thanks to Flanagan Cairns Southern Cross Road Bray. Furniture for life. Visit flanagancairns.ie.
Morning Show at East Coast. Our number here is 087-7711-103. Now, do we need to change the sign for disability parking? You see it on the street. They're sort of extra wide parking spaces and they're well marked with all sorts of designation signs on the road and a big blue sign in front, and you can use them if you've got a pass to use them, which you display in your car. Now, do we need to change the sign though for disability parking? Because what is a disability? This follows a post on Bray Open Forum where a person was shouted at for using a disability space. This person has MS and does not use a wheelchair, doesn't need them, but has MS and makes mobility very, very difficult. After explaining this, well, the woman continued to shout at the people using the disability space, the father and daughter. Jordan Byrne from Bray is on the line to explain. Hello to you, Jordan.
Hello.
Hello, good morning to you.
Fill in,
I've just did a brief description of it, but fill in the gaps for us. What happened?
Yes, I went to Power City in Bray yesterday morning. It was about 11:30, and we were leaving an old TV in the recycling part of it. And we pulled into the disabled spot, which I have a pass for. And a lady who was coming out of Power City got into her car, saw us parking where we were parking, got out of the car, and it continued to shout at us, "That's for disabled people only." So I got out and I said, "Sorry." And she looked at me and goes, "You do know that's the disabled spot." And I turned around and said, "Yes, I have a blue pass in the window, and we're only just dropping something off if someone comes along. That's more like they need the spot." And she continued then to keep shouting at me. And my dad came out of conversation then and goes, "Well, look, if you open your eyes, we have a pass in the window, and if you want to know her medical history, she has MS. And she said, "Yeah, well, it doesn't make a difference. It's only for disabled people only," as if MS isn't a disability.
Right. And how did it all end?
We just got back in the car because I was kind of shaking. I was like, "No, I don't really want to, cause I'm not really one to go and confront people about things like that." So I was kind of like, "Okay, look, leave them at us. It's okay." My dad, now on the other hand, now was really upset about it. And I thought, I would go back and say something. I was like, "Look, don't bother. There's no point. Obviously, she has a reason to be going mad, but it just I don't know. I wanted to kind of raise the awareness that not everybody." Like, if we have a pass, we have a pass for a reason. We're not just, like, a normal person that's getting out of the car. Even though I look normal, I have a disability.
Her methods are very questionable. However, she is actually on your side, in a way, isn't she?
She was. Like, I understand that. But then, after I explained myself, showed the pass, she still goes, "Well, it's only for disabled people only." And I was like, "Well, thankfully, I have a disability and I have a right to be parked here." And she wasn't having none of it. She was still shouting across the car park for people that are standing there. There's eight or nine people still in the car park just looking at us. I'm not very like, okay, should I not be parking here even though I have a right to park here?
And when you're applying for this pass, what sort of questions do you have to answer?
I have to answer, like, when I get the pass, I have to give my medical history. My neurologist, my doctor, have to sign off on it. So I have to get an examination as if I can do it or not. But because I am entitled to it, because I could wake up yesterday and I could be fine, but today I could have woke up and I could need the wheelchair or need the walking stick. It's not MS. It's a daily basis. You don't know what way it's going to go.
And you think perhaps an answer to this is what? To change the sign in some way?
No, the sign is fine. I just think a lot more awareness is needed for even in the table spaces, like even have like a sticker or something there as well to say, like, not all disabilities are visible, because they're not. Like, people park there, people have a reason to park there. If they have a pass, they shouldn't be questioned. Like, if the pass is theirs, like, if you're going to question someone with a blue pass, at least be like a car warden or like a guard, because they have the right to ask, okay, is the person who owns the pass in the car? And then, yeah, okay, you show, turn around and show the back of it that your picture's not on it, it's your pass. I understand people misusing the passes and stuff around lately, but after I turned around and said, well, the pass is mine, she should have said, okay, I'm sorry. She had apologised, okay, I was wrong, it was just that people always park there, so I wasn't sure. I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. But to continue attacking me in a car park is a bit over the top.
Yeah, so she took it too far.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the woman and whatever, and there might have been some incident in her family or something where somebody actually has a visible disability with a wheelchair,
yeah,
and came across spaces that were full by people who were just inconsiderate about it. So we don't know, but I know what you mean about she just went far too far about it. So it's just to put out the word that not all people with a visible disability actually... are not disabled. Let's bring in PJ Clean from the Disability Federation. PJ, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to you both. It's PJ Clear, actually. But don't worry.
Clear.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, PJ. Thanks for the correction there. Do you come across this, or have you come across it before?
We do, unfortunately, and I just want to say good morning to... I'm sorry, I missed your first name.
It's Jordan.
Jordan. Good morning, Jordan. I'm really, really sorry that you had that experience yesterday, because in fairness, that's not acceptable behaviour at any standard, is it really, when you think about it? Even though I know that you could say, as you mentioned there just a minute ago, that it may appear that the person may have in some way been on your side, you know, that sort of way. But I think what Jordan has said is very true, in the sense that not everybody with a disability has a visible disability, such as, for example, a wheelchair or a stick or whatever, or a walking aid. And there does need to be a lot more awareness that disabilities are not always visible. And also, you know, we do come across this, and we need to trust in the good faith of people, that you're parked there. If you're parked there, our first instinct should be that you have a right to be there. You know, that shouldn't be our second instinct. It should be our first instinct. And that, you know, anyone with a European parking pass has the right to be there. So I do totally understand, Jordan, and I've heard a lot of other people with disabilities having this issue. So we tend to try and focus on building awareness about, you know, what you should do if you do have a genuine concern.
And PJ, could I ask you what I mentioned to Jordan there about able-bodied people, let's call them that, abusing this in some way?
Oh, it's well, I mean, obviously, nobody wants to see people doing that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really is an issue of, on the one hand, it's illegal, but on the other hand, it's downright bad manners, if you think about it. But for example, people may not be aware. I think it's important as well that people think as well always that there is an assumption, a couple of assumptions around disabled parking spaces. One is, for example, that they're always free. They're not always free, actually, to the person. For example, if they're, you know, if they're in a private parking space, some private parking companies provide the accessible space, but you still have to pay for it. And then also in public parking spaces, there is a €150 fixed charged fine if you park there without a valid European parking card. And there's a certain length of time to pay that. And if you don't pay, that goes up to €225.
Right, so there's consequences of it. But could I ask you, PJ, about this? I mean, the sign, as far as I know, for disabled parking is actually a wheelchair. So is that not confusing the issue?
It can do, and in fact, unfortunately, it's an internationally recognised sign. And I do take Jordan's point about, you know, that there possibly should be something that says not all disabilities are visible. You know, that would be a lovely a lovely addition to that, because, you know, sometimes we come across this as well in with people using accessible toileting, for example. You know, a person may well, you know, we've all been at concerts and we've all been at theatres and stuff like that where there is an accessible toilet and there's a big queue outside one or the other toilet. And we don't know if somebody dumps out of that queue and runs in. People automatically presume, and maybe it's a good assumption, I don't know, that the person is jumping a queue by running into the empty right. accessible toilet.
They could have Crohn's disease or something like
they
that.
They could have Crohn's. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I myself had ulcerative colitis for 20 years, and I understand the urgency that comes with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's. So, but that wasn't visible to people. So people need to understand that it's not always, I think we have to trust that people genuinely, most of the time, are doing the right thing.
Right. Jordan, it sounds from what PJ is saying there, it's, you know, it's more education to the wider community and it's a fact of life to live with.
Yes, definitely. Like, it's just, I've had this more than once, this attack, being attacked first, but yesterday she kind of, like, people have always apologised after, oh, sorry, I had no idea. And that's yeah. fine, but then when she continues to go, well, it's only for I just be a person with a disability. It's kind of like, okay, well, I do have it. I don't have a pass. She was one of us. If you want to have a look at my picture, it's on the back of it. But she was just, it was anger. It was like, it was hate in her eyes for some reason. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Jordan, could I just interject there? I don't think that you should have had to prove anything.
I should have.
To be fair to you. Yeah, like, in the situation, like, you were not dealing, obviously, with somebody who was being reasonable about it. As you say, you were being very reasonable, and if the lady had your best intentions in mind, you know, and would have said, listen, do you realise this is for people with disabilities and you shouldn't be parked in it, and you had produced your pass or even said, pointed to it in the windscreen, and the person apologised and said, listen, I'm only looking out for people. That's one thing. But if you're being, like, really what you were subjected to yesterday was, you know, I mean, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it felt like a personal attack. And I was being nice and I apologized, like, I showed her the past stuff. I wouldn't have minded if she said, okay, I'm sorry. But I didn't even get that. She just hopped into her car and goes, yeah, well, it's only for people with disabilities. And so, yeah. Like, you're not able.
She wasn't prepared to back down. All right, well, let's hope that conversations like this just educate people to know that it's not always identifiable with disability because it's a wheelchair, but there might be other issues involved. Thank you both for your time.
Yes? Can I just say one last thing before I
certainly, PJ.
We do an awful lot of work around raising awareness, and we have, every year now, we have established a day on September the 26th, and it'll be happening in the Bray area as well. It's Make Way Day. And this is working in conjunction with people with disabilities, local groups, access groups, and the local authority. And basically on that day, all around the country, we have 19 local authorities at the moment involved in it. And all around the country, it's not pointing a finger. It's a day across the country where people are highlighting obstacles, like, for example, bins on the footpaths or cars and bikes parked or whatever. So I would just say, if people would like to get involved in Jordan, I think you'd be wonderful to get involved in this kind of day if you were up to it.
And
basically, my colleague Pierce Richardson is the person to talk to. And if it's okay with you, lads, I'd just give you a telephone number where you can contact Pierce. He'd probably be available on Monday, I'd say, at this stage. But if you could contact him, I'm sure he'd be very interested in talking to anybody who'd like to get involved in it. The number is 01-708-0103. So thank you very much.
And disability.ie, is it the website?
Oh, no, it's actually, I'll tell you can look at it on the Disability Federation of Ireland website, which is disability-federation.ie or makewayday.com.
Very good. Okay. And that number 01708-0103. Thank you, PJ Clear.
Thank you very much.
And thank you,
Jordan
Byrne, for coming up. Thank you.
Good
to have the chat, Jordan. Thank you. Good morning to you.